that tomorrow the Fajr prayer at 5:30 will be here at the convention center, not at the Hyatt. So after the session, immediately leave this hall and go quickly to your rooms, take rest, and be here at Fajr time, 5:30 inshallah. On this side, I'm sorry, on my left side for Fajr prayer.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله. I was telling Sheikh Tariq earlier that I'd met his father in over 20 years ago in Switzerland, and then once again in London. And it's interesting to hear the grandson of Sheikh Hassan al-Banna rahimahullah speak such eloquent English with a French accent. This is Athar al-Ajaib, babies in bubbles. I, unfortunately, the time is now very limited, and I would like to say, though, I would take a little bit of disagreement with the idea that we don't need words. I believe in the power of words. I think that words move hearts. And I think one of the greatest things about the Arab people is that they also know the power of words. And I believe that's why that the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not only words, because these are the kalimatullah, the words of Allah, and aqwalu rasulillah, and the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those are the most powerful words that have ever been uttered by tongues and lips. And the Arabs were people that were moved by khitaba. And this is why the fin al-khitaba was actually an essential ingredient to leadership. The extraordinary and singular kafir, Winston Churchill, said that a man who has the power of words has a power that even kings don't possess. And this is something that, unfortunately, I think what's happened in the modern world is that we have ulama who have inherited aqwalu rasulillah, but they haven't inherited the ahwalu rasulillah. Wal-anbiya, al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya. The scholars are the inheritors of prophets. They inherit from them their words, their deeds, af'al, and their ahwal or akhlaq, the states that they have, to their limited ability. And this is what our ummah in a sense lacks, is murabbun, is people of tarbiyah, is people that transform the heart. This is one of our greatest crises. Most of our youth now are, we're losing them because we don't have examples that they can look up to. Imam means an example, it's a paragon. It comes from a word that means to lead. And the most powerful weapon that the imam has is his tongue. And this is why the khutbah is every Friday. Because the khutbah is meant to move hearts. And once hearts are moved, إِذَا حَلَّتِ الْهِدَايَةُ قَلْبًا نَشِطَتْ لِلْعِبَادِ فِي الْعَطَاءُ. When hidayah enters the heart, then the limbs begin to respond with enthusiasm, a beautiful Greek word that means to be filled with God, to be filled with love of God. But this needs to be tempered with intelligence. If we look at the situation that we're in now, and this idea of inferiority complexes, I don't have that. It's not my problem. I don't have to talk about it because it's not my problem. I was born in America, like the Americans say, born in the USA, made in the USA. Right? Made in the USA.
I didn't grow up. I grew up. My grandfather told me, you know who your great-great-great-grandfather was? I said, who? He said, Socrates. And your uncle was Aristotle. And on my paternal side, they told me that your ancestors were Vikings. They used to go and conquer people. And they were Chisholm, from the Chisholm clan that ruled Scotland and used to beat up the English every once in a while. That's what I grew up with. Now, I'm amazed at a people, because those are some pig eaters that really are not all that impressive historically. If you study, Socrates was impressive, but if you study a lot of those people, they were really, in a sense, barbarians. They were savages. What a difference between somebody who's told that their great-great-great-grandfather was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Muzammil as-Siddiqi. Why is his name a Siddiqi? Your Bakri, right? This is a Bakri. His grandfather is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who, if his iman was weighed in one scale and all of the ummah in the other scale, that his iman would outweigh the entire ummah. This is Faridun al-Mujaddidi. This man, his great-great-grandfather was Umar ibn al-Khattab. Well, what do you tell when you have somebody, you tell him your grandfather was Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then you tell him who Umar ibn al-Khattab was? How many people in this room, raise your hands, are descendants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Raise your hands. Raise them up. Look at all these hands. Sayyid. Look at all these hands. Your great-great-grandfather was Afdarul Khalqillah, the best of creation. Our inferiority complex comes because we no longer know who we are. We don't know where we came from. And if you find out who you are and understand it truly, there's no way you can feel inferior. If my grandfather was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, nobody's going to tell me I'm inferior, because those genes are running in my blood. There's a hadith in Tabarani, إِذَا اسْتَقَرَّتَ النُّطْفَةُ فِي الرَّحْمِ أَحْضَرَهَا كُلُّ نَسَدٍ إِلَىٰ آدَمٍ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ آدَمٍ. When the nutfa, when the zygote is implanted in the womb, then all of the descendants of that zygote help to bring in that human being. Back to Adam. We're all children of Adam. That's who our father is. He was a prophet of Allah. That's who we are. We're Benu Adam. How can you have an inferiority complex if you're Beni Adam? That's not possible. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We've ennobled Beni Adam. We gave him karama. We gave her karama. You're the daughters of Hawa. Really? Who do you think you are? We're not walking around on four legs. Some people are behaving as if they should be, but we're not. We're walking upright. We're not donkeys. We're not braying. Nobody's braying. I'm speaking English. I'm speaking an extraordinary language that has a great history, filled with rich words, texture, meanings, metaphors, great literature. I'm not braying like a donkey. I'm not squeaking like a pig. I'm talking like a human being. I can't feel inferior. Allah didn't create me to feel inferior. He created me to feel superior to everything on the earth. Because Beni Adam is the reason why all of this is here. But lest we become arrogant, Allah reminds us, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. The human being was created from ajal. مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ. From a lowly, despised fluid. مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. From mud. Allah keeps us humble and then tells us, put your head on the ground, because the greatest thing that you have is your intellect. Put it on the ground. Rub it in the earth. Feel your mother. That's a hadith. إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَرْضُ أُمُّكُمْ. This earth is your mother. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. She will testify against those who oppress her on the Day of Judgment. Because they're aqs. It's a kabira to be somebody who shows filial impiety. So Allah meant for us to be balanced. to walk upright. This is why prayer is standing. Al-qa'im, we begin qa'im, and then we go into ruku'ah, and then we come back qa'im, and then we go into sujood, and we end sitting. And we end our prayer with assalamu alaikum. These are all to elevate human beings. Prayer is a journey. When Sheikh Omar al-Qashani, one of the great North Africans, was asked, why do we end our prayer with salam? He said, because you've just taken a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the traveler returns from his journey, he says, assalamu alaikum. We've been given prayer. We've been given fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينِ مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In order to learn taqwa. These are things to elevate us. إِنَّ أَكْرَمُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you are people of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَرَقُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That perhaps you might gain this taqwa. This taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that elevates the human being, changes his state. Now, I want just to say something very simply, and I'm not going to be long. I would like to talk about this subject all night because it's my favorite subject. But I'm just going to say one thing. I believe the only reason a Muslim can feel inferior is because he doesn't know who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Because once you know who he is, and there's a great book written by Qadha Iyab, from Andalusia, called Al-Shifa fi Ta'rif Huquq al-Mustafa, the cure or the healing in coming to know who the chosen one was. When the Sahaba were once in a gathering in the masjid, some of them were saying, Subhanallah, Musa Kareemullah. One of them said, Ibrahim Khalilullah. One of them said, Isa Ruhullah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. And he said, I heard what you were saying. And all of that is true. But who am I? Ana Habibullah wa la fakhr. I'm the beloved of Allah. And this isn't a boast. Ana Sayyidu waldi Adam wa la fakhr. Indi liwa alhamdi yawm al-qiyamah. I have the banner of praise on the Day of Judgment. When all of humanity, all these people you see out there running around with their cars and their cellular phones and all of their dunya and all of their important things, every single one of them on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be forced to go to each prophet begging to get out of Ard al-Hashr, begging to get out of that state. And all of humanity is forced to recognize من هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكيف يدرك في الدنيا حقيقته قوم نيام تسلوا عنه بالحلم. How can people in this dunya realize his reality when they're sleepwalking, preoccupied with their dreams? How can they know who sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is? And if you knew who he was and knew that you were from his ummah, not from the ummah of Musa, which was a great honor, Kareemullah, not from the ummah of Ibrahim, which was a great honor, Khalilullah, not from the ummah of Isa ibn Maryam, which is a great honor, but from the ummah of Habibullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's who we are, lest we forget who we are. We are people who were given belief in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say, La ilaha illallah, kalima tamdikuna biha al-urb wal-ajam. A word, if you understood what it was, you would possess the heart, not the body, the heart of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Because this word, the heart is waiting for this word to return to it, to go back to its ahad, arastu bi rabbikum. Bala, shahidna, all these people out there, they're waiting for somebody to come and remind them. Tanbih al-ghafil, to go out and remind them. Where do you think all these Muslims came from? Where do you think all the Muslims in India came from? In Indonesia came from? In Turkey came from? They were non-Muslims before the Muslims showed up. They were pig eaters. They were doing all the things, fornicating, drinking. But when these people came, they transformed their hearts. They brought them guidance. They brought them guidance. And that's what these people are waiting for. They're waiting for us to bring them guidance. And there are those who will accept, and there will are those who will reject. And that is the nature of this teaching. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being a free will, a component in him that enables him to choose or to reject. So you have to find out who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And I would like to remind all of us of a hadith, because all of the shurafa in this room should honor their lineage by being people of taqwa. They should honor their lineage. Because your people, سُبْتُمْ النَّاسِ بِالتُّقَى وَسِوَاكُمْ سَوَّدَتُهُ الْبَيْضَاءُ وَالصَّفْرَاءُ. The people of the family of the Prophet, they possess the hearts of people because of their taqwa, and other people possess it because of gold and silver. Banu Hashim has lost their maqam amongst the ummah, partly because many of them have forgotten who they are, and they need to be reminded, but also the Muslims have forgotten who Banu Hashim are, honoring the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things that Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu says in his diwan, he said, إِذَا فِي مَجْلِسٍ نَذْكُرْ عَلِيَّ وَسِبْطَيْهِ وَفَاطِمَ الزَّكِيَّ يُقَارُ تَجَاوَزُوا يَا قَوْمُ هَذَا فَهَذَا مِنْ حَدِيثَ الرَّافِضِيَّةِ بَرِئْتُ إِلَى الْمُهِيمِنِ مِنْ أُنَاسٍ يَرَوْنَ الرَّفَّةَ حُبَّ الْفَاطِمِيَّةِ. He said, if we mention in a majlis Sayyidina Ali and his two sons, the two grandsons of the Prophet, and Fatima the pure one, people say, you've gone beyond the limits. You're speaking the speech of the Rafidiyah. He says, wallahi, I'm free from a people that consider love of Fatima Rafidiyah. I have nothing to do with those people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that Sayyidina Ali relates in Tabarani, أَجِّبُوا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ. If you want your children to lose their inferiority complex, then أَجِّبُوهُمْ كَمَا قَارَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَجِّبُوا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ. حُبِّ نَبِيِّكُمْ. Teach them to love their Prophet. Teach them the stories of their Prophet. Teach them to know who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَحُبِّ آلِ بَيْتِهِ. And teach them to love the family of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're not people of ghulu. We're people, we should love the family. These people should be honored. They're not supposed to take, you can't say, oh, they're just like everybody else. They're not like everybody else. They cannot take zakat. Allah has given them a maqam that other people don't have. And those who tell you otherwise are lying to you, because this is the sunnah of the Muslim. This is not kalam al-shi'a. This is sunnah. And the people that changed this were the Bani Umayyah, and it was the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz that stopped all of that nonsense and returned the family of the Prophet to the status that they had in the beginning of Islam. The Prophet honored them. Sayyidina Umar said, كُنَّا نَتَوَسُّ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ الْآنَ نَتَوَسُّ بِعَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ الْعَبَّاسِ. We used to do wasila with the Messenger of Allah when the Messenger of Allah was with them, and now we do wasila with Abbas, the uncle. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit, when he kissed the hand of Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Abbas, when he took the camel, Ibn Abbas said, like that we were ordered to do with the ulama, because Zayd was one of the great ulama, especially in tariqah, in inheritance law. And then Zayd said, when he kissed him, like that we were commanded to do with the family of the Messenger of Allah, لا أسركم عليه أجر إلا المودة في القربة. مودتهم حب أهل بيت رسول الله is a way of drawing near to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And one of the things Imam Shafi'i said, يا أهل بيت رسول الله حبكم فرض من الله في القرآن أنزله يكفيكم من عظيم الفخر أنكم من لم يصلي عليكم لا صلاة له. O family of the Prophet of Allah, your love is an obligation binding on the Muslims. Your love is binding on the Muslims. And it's in the Qur'an, Allah revealed it. And it's enough that you have honor in this ummah that those who don't pray on you have no prayer. According to the madhab of Imam Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu wa la'alluhu al-rajih. He said, if you don't say the Salat al-Ibrahimi, which includes, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there's another room for all of us, because ana jaddu kulli taqiyin. Wa in lam yathbut hadha al-hadith fa ma'nahu sahih, insha'Allah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, Salmanu minna al bayt, the people of taqwa, draw near to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to know who we are. We have to know who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. In this country, our children, we're losing our children. And many of the reasons relate to what our brother mentioned about the media. We allow them to sit in front of the devil, Shaitan, Iblis, and he's raising your children. He's putting into their minds, Epictetus, a Roman slave, a Roman Stoic slave. In around 90, in the years of the first years of the Christian, Epictetus said, a man will not allow anyone to penetrate his body. And yet, he allows people to penetrate his mind by listening to anyone who has anything to say. And this is really an Islamic concept of guarding your ears. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. You're responsible for your ears and your eyes. When you're allowing your children to watch these things, this filth, you're allowing these things to enter into their minds. Really, you're affecting them deeply. My advice to all of you, if you want your children to really understand and have a heart that's open to true meanings of this deen, you have to stop allowing them to watch what the kuffar have to tell them. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu said, and it's related in a madkhal of Ibn al-Hajj, he said, لا تمكن أذنيك من مبتدع فلا تدري ما تعلق بقلبك من كلماته. Don't allow any innovator to give you ear to any innovator, because you don't know what will cling to your heart. If this is a mubtadi' who's a Muslim with deviant beliefs, then what do you say about a kafir, about somebody who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allow giving ear to what they say to your children, who have no way of distinguishing what's right and what's wrong. We have to take, wallahi, and I say by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in the power of people. I believe in the power of individuals. And I believe that we have the ability now to change the world. And I'm not saying this as some pie in the sky belief. No, I believe this is real. We have the power to change the world. The world has never been more unstable than it is now. And one of the beauties of instability is that even slight perturbations can influence it. When you have a stable system, it's very difficult to affect it, and physicists know this. We're living in unstable times, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is al-muharrik. He is the one that moves. He is the one that unsettles things. He is the muzalzil. He is the muza'zi'. He is the one that's moving all of these things. It's all crumbling down. T.S. Eliot, one of their poets, said the center is no longer holding. The center is no longer holding. They're bereft of spirituality, these people. They're materialists in the grossest forms of materialism. And yet, I would say that many of the Muslims I have met in my life and in many Muslim countries are more materialistic than many of the Americans that I know. And I'm not exaggerating about that. There is a deeply dyed materialism that has entered the hearts of the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he described the weakness of the Muslims, and that's our inferiority, they asked him, what is it? He said, al-wahn. And they asked him, what is the wahn? He said, hubb ad-dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. How do you remove the hubb ad-dunya from your heart? You remove the love of this world from your heart by reflecting on death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, akthiru min dhikri hadha min ladhat. Make much mention of the destroyer of appetite. Tonight, before you sleep, reflect on your grave. Reflect on going into your grave. Reflect on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Think about these things. These are real things. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حَقٌ وَالنَّارَ حَقٌ وَالصِّرَاطَ حَقٌ. It's all true. It's not fairy tales. He spoke the truth. And he is the greatest proof of his own message. The Messenger of Allah, an orphan, born in a jahili period, without any education, unlettered completely, one man came with the greatest legal system that has ever graced the face of this earth. And anyone who studies it with any objectivity will recognize the truth of that. The legal system of Islam that elevates the five universals, the deen, the nafs, the mal, the aql, the nasab, the irf, these are the things that the Islam came to protect. People's lives, their property, their lineage. All these people are losing their lineage. Really, they're all fornicating. They don't even know who their fathers are anymore. And this is a crime against children, that a child comes into the world not knowing who its father is. This is a crime against children. And they have to be told that, because they've lost the understanding of that. They've lost their Christianity. And it's a spent force. Islam is the last force left. It's the only force that can transform this world. And if we, the Muslims, don't take it upon ourselves to do something, in this time, today, now, today, we make an intention, every single one of us. And this is not an emotional speech. I am saying we need to commit our lives to this deen. الَّذِي فَاتْ مَاتْ مَا مَضَى مَضَى. It's all gone, your past. Your maqam al-madi at-tawbah. The station of the past is tawbah. The station of the present is istiqamah. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. It's as simple as that. Say, I believe in Allah and be upright. And you can be upright. We have Muslims in this ummah that are upright. They don't fornicate. They don't drink. They don't steal. They don't lie. They don't cheat. We have them, and I've lived with them, and I've seen them, and I've seen the power that they have in their eyes and in their faces, in their movements, in their prayer. And these people, if you live with them, they will transform your lives. And we need to reproduce. We need to do this. Our children need to become these people. And if they become these people, wallahi, if they enter into these cities, people will come like they came in Syria, in India. They couldn't speak the language of the Arabs. And they said, whatever you have, we want it. They looked at their faces and they said, whatever you have, we want it. Teach us. How do you pray? Really, this is who we are. وَإِذَا سَخَرَ الْإِلَهُ أُنَاسًا لِسَعِيدٍ فَإِنَّهُمْ سُعَدَاءُ. We should be people subjugated to the felicitous one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا تخون الله والرسول. Don't betray Allah and His Messenger. Don't be people of khiyana. Don't be people of treachery. Be people of wasa. One of the greatest attributes of the Arabs, which is why the message came to the Arabs. And the Arabs were a great people. And they have greatness in their genes. And they can be great again with the izzah of Islam. With the dignity of Islam. With the dignity of Islam. They can be great again, but they have to humble themselves. They have to become leaders through humility and service, not through pride and arrogance. They have to go out with humility to the non-Arabs. This is the thoroughbred. The Arab is an Arabian like a stallion. He's a thoroughbred. Allah made him a thoroughbred. And even the kuffar admits that the greatest horses are the Arabian horses. They admit that themselves. The Queen of England has a stable filled with Arab horses, not Anglo-Saxon horses. Arab horses. And the greatest beast after the human being is the horse, which is why he's honored in jihad. He's honored in the Quran. Al-Khayl. Wa-ribat al-Khayl. And the Arabian horse is the highest horse. And the Arabian on the Arabian horse is the greatest mujahid. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for the Arab. Like Salman al-Farisi said, نَحْنُ الْوُزَرَى وَأَنْتُمُ الْأُمَرَى. We're your ministers, you're our leaders. We're waiting. Where are the Arabs? Where are you? Wallahi, where are you? Wake up! Qum fa'anzir! Get up! Wallahi, get up and take this deen out. Not with mean faces. I've seen so many mean-looking Arabs, it's enough to make you weep. They need to smile some more. Really, quit being depressed and obsessed. It's beyond depression. It's beyond depression. It's beyond optimism. Really, this is it. This is the last, it's like that last chance for gas. This is the last chance for Iman, because it's just desert ahead. So people need to wake up. We need to wake up. People, wake up. That's it. That's all you have to do. Just wake up. And the first thing when you wake up, you're supposed to splash water on your face and say, Bismillah. It's called wudu. And wudu will make your face light because it's from wada'a. This is what we need to do. You should all be in wudu. If you're not in wudu, shame on you. Go back to your places and do wudu and pray 2 rakats and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit your life to this deen and stop wasting your life. Don't waste your life. It's too precious to waste. Your life is too precious to waste. Don't waste it. Don't be foolish people. Don't be people of hamaqa, of stupidity. Qadi Ayyab radiallahu anhu has a chapter in his book called Hamaqatul Qawmin. The stupidity of a people who trade the guidance of their prophet for the error of another people. They trade the guidance of their prophet for the balala of another people. Really, we have guidance from Allah and we need to take that out to people. Be upright people. Be qawameen bil qist. Be people standing up for the truth. This is our strength, our moral strength. We're people that are supposed to be moral people. We're not supposed to be people that simply talk Islam. We should live Islam, we should talk Islam, eat Islam, drink Islam, and sleep Islam, and die Islam. And that's all there is.
and there's nothing else in the world. This world is a place for submission. If you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah promises us, aslam taslam, aslam taslam. That's the message of Islam. Enter into submission and you will be safe. And I'll just end this by saying that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah said that Islam is maslaha kulluha, rahma kulluha, adal kulluha, wa hikma kulluha. It's all benefit, it's all wisdom, it's all rahma, mercy, and it's all justice. And he said anything that is not beneficial, is not wise, is not merciful, and is not just, is not from Islam. And that's our message. So if you see anything from a Muslim that doesn't emanate one of those four qualities, he's not acting according to Islam, and we need to wake up and change our ways. Really. So that's it. I don't have anything else to say, and they can take over now.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.